He is the cup that transformation comes in. We are after a presence that changes everything. We want to make this city and this region famous for the presence of the Lord. We want to see worship that redefines
how people think of the Bible Belt.
If we want to reach this region in our area, you know, in this world, whatever, we as a church have got to come together. And it's not just one church that's going to do it. It's going to take us all.
We have a calling that we will change the atmosphere, that we will come against things.
He wants his kingdom to be overlaid in such a powerful way that crime drops, that sickness goes away, and even economically, this whole area can explode in the favor and the presence of God. And we have to ask ourselves, you know, what am I doing to attract the kingdom of heaven? What am I doing that positions me to have something flow through me that transforms the earth around me?
It's to create a path, a clear path for God to come in today, to break through all of that stuff that's been on you all week, to break through all that depression, to break through all that sickness.
What he did on the cross was he provided everything that we need to transform this world. You know, Jesus, when he died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." Let me tell you what, it's not finished for us.
It's just starting.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Next Gen Worship Podcast. My name is Clint and I'm your host. We recently had the Unite Meet and Greet. This is an event hosted by Kerry Jones at Faith Assembly in Joplin, Missouri. The purpose of the event was to get a greater connection with worship leaders in the Southwest Missouri area and foster a greater sense of community. Also to share hopes and dreams and things that we have in our hearts from the Lord for the future. It was a great night of connection and a great night of just hearing what's on people's hearts. You know, when people begin to speak, you start to hear the things that God's saying to them. And it's just so amazing to see so many different worshipers and worship leaders involved with different worship groups across the area say the same thing. There's a real fellowship and a real oneness happening. I even heard some excerpts being read from a book that I had forgotten about. And this book is about 12 years old. And it was written by Chuck Pierce and Dutch Seitz. And it's called Releasing the Prophetic Destiny of a Nation. And I just want to read a couple excerpts because it talks about Missouri. These guys actually traveled to different states in the United States and prayed and just sought the Lord, you know, what God, what are your plans? What are your strategies? And they had some very interesting things to say. And I just want to read a few paragraphs here and kind of let these things begin to speak to you. So, quoting from the book, "There's something very key about the state," speaking of Missouri. "It has more rivers than any other state. If your destiny is now show me your glory, this becomes very significant to you. What it says to you is that you are ending a season. You've experienced good, but now you're headed into the next dimension of best. And you will be a model of that best. I actually saw four cities in Missouri transformed. I saw this by the Spirit last night during worship. I'm going to tell you that once the glory of God visits them, the whole state will begin to quake under his glory. I don't know enough about Missouri to know where the cities are, but I see them and they are there." And that was Chuck Pierce. Then Dutch Sheets chimed in. "You are not going to succeed through past methods and formulas, how you did it before. You are going to have to listen for the sound. Now listen, that's a word for you, Missouri. I'm telling you, that's the word for you. You're going to have to hear from God and listen. You don't need the whole state to be doing it. You don't need the majority of Christians to be joining you. You just need whoever shows up. Don't wait for this thing to where you feel like we've got to get X amount of pastors on board, X amount of churches, X amount of people, and if we don't get it, we can't do it." Chuck prophesied, "This is a time that I am coming, and I have surprises, and I have releases that I'm bringing to this state. The captives that have been held, this state will be known as one who opened the prison doors. I will say to you today, what I do in this state and how I use this state will tingle the ears of this nation. Put your ear to the ground, for this will be a group that will run faster than the horses in Missouri. And they will say about Missouri, we didn't even know they have horses. But I am setting up a course in Missouri that will control and open up the gates of this land. My hand is now upon you. Dutch said, he, God, said, I am going to show the show me state signs and wonders and great miracles, because when the cloud comes, you can't help but have signs and wonders and miracles. You can't help but have harvest because impregnation and conception occurs and the seed of life is deposited and something comes forth. Missouri, help us on the way. God is going to show his glory to the show me state. The river of God will flow through Missouri, bringing signs and wonders and miracles. God is releasing the seer anointing, opening the eyes of Missouri to see prophetically. Four cities will have a release of evangelism that will overtake them: Kansas City, St. Louis, Jefferson City, and Carthage. Missouri is to have 24 simultaneous worship gatherings that will lift worship in Missouri to a new level. This state will set the captives free. So I thought those were very, very interesting words. It's like, I totally forgot about this book, but it's like these guys have been sitting in my house listening to my wife and I talk. And it's just so exciting to know that you're part of something bigger than you. For a long time, we've had a ministry model, especially in the Western world, where it's about the one guy, and we come behind the one guy to support what he's doing. But really, I think God's model is seen in the New Testament, you know, when Jesus built community and then he sent that community out. You know, we all have influence in our spheres and realms of society. And if we can carry the presence of God into those realms and into those different areas of society, I really believe that we can see true transformation occur. That transformation starts with his presence, it starts with worship, and starts with community. And we have some things cooking for the region as far as community and worship, and we'll be making an announcement about that shortly, but it's going to be fantastic. All right, on this week's podcast, we talked to Daryl Billings. Daryl's such a great source of inspiration and impartation when it comes to worship and prayer, and a real father of this community as far as wanting to see breakthrough, wanting to see the kingdom of God advanced. And he talks about paradigm shift today. You know, sometimes as we walk through our lives, you know, we find ourselves in a rut, which is basically a grave with open ends, and we need a paradigm shift. And a paradigm shift is just a radical reassignment on how we view things. It's a shift in our worldview. It's a shift on the kingdom, how we view the kingdom, and how we view these lives that we're living that are advancing for his sake. Webster's Dictionary defines paradigm shift as a fundamental change in approach or underlying assumptions. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today, and I hope you enjoy my conversation with Daryl Billings.
It brings life everlasting, gives beauty for our scars, replaces fear with courage, chases away the dark.
Fueling leaders of heaven's invasion.
Let the Spirit of the Lord come rushing in, rushing in. Rushing in, let the Spirit of the Lord come rushing in, rushing in.
Let's talk about paradigm shift. That's a word that, you know, when you hear that, people are going to say, you know, it's a kind of, everybody has an opinion about paradigm shift, and some people don't even know what it means. But we're looking for, everybody knows what shift means. I mean, we're going from one place to another.
Right.
Just talk us through a paradigm shift.
A paradigm shift is how you look at things. And how you look at things is what you're discovering. Hmm. It's a new way of looking. It's almost like you had cataracts and then all of a sudden you got clear vision. Hmm. You've got new glasses. However it is, one of the greatest paradigm shifts that my wife Deb and I had was a paradigm shift about becoming the bride of Christ. She actually had a much greater understanding of that than I did. And I remember when we were pastoring New Song Church, I was in the middle of a sermon, and I said something about the Bride of Christ, which we talk about considerably. But I remember saying, God, I don't understand this Bride of Christ. Warrior, I understand warrior. Son of God, I understand being a son of the Most High. But I don't understand this Bride of Christ thing, but I want to. It's in Scripture,
right?
And I really want to. And honestly, that was back in 2010, and I spent the next 13 years somehow wrapping myself around that, or letting him wrap that around me. And honestly, it started off with the study of Song of Solomon, the Song of Songs from Mike Bickle out of IHOP Kansas City. It really started me into it. And it's all about this love relationship that God has for us. And it started before God had it for us. It's a love relationship they had for a son. And my way of thinking in it is that God loves his son so much that he wanted to lavish a gift upon his son. And the gift that he lavishes upon his son is his bride.
Yeah.
And so he's fashioning a bride for his son that is beyond anything that we could imagine, dream, or think about. It's the most wonderful thing for his most wonderful son. And the Father creates it, shapes it, renews it, and that's us.
Yeah.
And again, I couldn't put myself around it, but I got to tell you, at the end of 13 years of studying the Song of Solomon and going through Mike Bickle's notes and Jean Guillon's notes from way back in the Middle Ages, and just some direct revelations that I got, it's a greater understanding of love, which God is love, and it's an understanding of how he would take and cause love to be cause love to be fixed in such a way that it can never be separated.
Yeah.
We can never be separated from his love. There's an understanding that comes only from understanding the heart of God. And you can only understand that, at least for me, was to get into his presence and allow myself to be still and to know the heart of God. And from that, I have drawn such a relationship with him, such an understanding that I would put myself first between anything and my wife Deb. Any danger, anything, I would sacrifice myself for her. I would give of myself all that I have for her happiness. Not saying that I don't fall short of that, and I still need to. But the Father just won't let anything come between that, which was his created idea as a gift for his son that he loves.
Wow. Wow.
And so in doing that, it's saying, okay, where does that fit with me? I'm in the process of becoming a direct relationship with Jesus like I've never had before. I'm becoming into a partnership with him that I really don't understand, that I will co-rule and co-labor with him, that I'm in direct proportion. The body of Christ will be in direct proportion to the head of Christ, that we've heard Bill Johnson say, for the direct proportion, or direct purpose, rather, of ruling and reigning with him forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
A husband and wife relationship needs to be a 50-50 partnership,
right,
where everybody, where both give 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way Jesus is. We cannot fall short. When we understand that we are the bride of Christ, we are not becoming the bride of Christ. We're becoming a level of authority and a level of love. But I'm never becoming Daryl. I am Daryl.
Right. Yeah.
I'm maturing as I grow. And so the body of Christ is maturing as she's growing, but she's always been the bride that's been created for the Son. And in that, it's just like you've got to be able to sit down, quiet your mind, and let Him tell you love stories.
That's really great.
You've got to let Him tell you love stories. We were talking a little earlier about in the study of Song of Solomon. It starts off very one of the very first things it says in verse one is I think verse two excuse me verse two is let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. And you're thinking, where is that coming from? Well, it's a love story. So
yeah, I was hoping you were going to talk about this.
You've got to recognize that it's a love story.
Yeah.
But what the bride is saying is, Father, let the prince kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. Well, that's nice and that's intimate. But when you get into Scripture, it's deeper than that. The Word of God says that nothing comes from through the mouth of man that doesn't first come from his heart.
Right.
Well, it's the same with God,
mm-hmm.
only in a much greater way. So she's saying, let the prince kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, but which comes from his heart. Now, what comes from his heart is good things.
Yeah.
He doesn't withhold a single good thing from those who love him. She's saying, let him kiss me with the kisses of his promises. Let those things set as a seal upon my heart that the promises of God are yes and amen. They're just and they're true. They're the very foundation that I stand on. When I cannot see His goodness, I know that He's good.
Yeah.
Because He promised that to me, and He does not lie. That it's not about my experience, what I'm going through right now. It's about the truth of His word. It's about the truth of His heart.
Yeah.
That His heart is good for me. His heart is sacrificially good for me. And I can stand on that. He wants it more than I do. And so He's going to carry me through all this. So she starts this love story by saying, seal me from the very beginning. Do something supernaturally to me that's going to cause me to be guided through the rest of my life with You.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah. And so when we recognize the fact that how good God is and how loving He is, then we, well, sometimes just to have to sit back and rely on that, you know, from my experience. Let me just say that for those who don't know, I lost a wife to cancer. And we had several thousand people. We had at least 1,000, if not more, people praying for her. And I firmly believe she was going to be healed. But on the day that she passed away, and she was not coming back, no matter how much I spoke life into her, no matter how much I tried to resurrect the dead,
mm-hmm.
she wasn't coming back. I found myself standing in my backyard, leaning on the fence, talking to my friend God, saying, I don't understand this, but I do understand You're good.
Yeah.
And right now I'm going to take You by the hand, and You're going to lead me through this.
Mm-hmm.
And He has. He's been absolutely wonderful in this. There's a point in your life when you just say, I don't know anything but You, God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we are in a body of worshipers. We're in a place where we're saying, I don't understand what's going on, but I understand, God, that You want a complete different relationship than we've ever had before. So we're going to need a paradigm shift.
Right.
We're going to need a paradigm shift for individually how we see God. We're going to need a paradigm shift for what is the church.
Mm-hmm.
The church is, I love congregations, and I love the family of congregations, and I love the fact that you can worship one way and I can worship the other way, and we've both got lots to learn. But we've got to learn what the church is, and when we're going to start learning to function as the church, if we're going to have a community,
yeah,
then we've got to discover what that is.
Right.
And we've got to come back to the fact that I don't have to understand it all.
Right. I think you know, what speaks to me when you talk about all those things about God's goodness is that I see so many times people, especially on Facebook, it's the great example for this. you know, they're on top one day and the next day they're below, and one day they're saying, you know, they're praising God, the next day they're saying, why God? And they, you know, to me, no matter what happens in life, it does not change God's character or nature.
No.
And no. So, you know, to a lot of people, God is still, the jury's still out on God, whether he's good or not. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we can trumpet from the rooftops, that God's nature is he is good. And in fact, he's better than we think.
Yeah. God's not on trial.
Right.
I don't care what the latest movie is. God's not on trial. Never been on trial.
Right.
There is no jury for God.
Right.
There's only a new discovery of who God is. And we're created to discover. We're created to be explorers. We're created to be Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
of the supernatural world.
Right.
And so what I see this year coming up is I see new discoveries. I see community happening. Oh, I'm not talking numbers. I just see community happening. I see a birth. There's new life out there, and it's time.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a generation who's been born for such a time as this. Well, what is it? That's a cliche that's thrown out there a lot. Well, you're going to have to find out what time is. But mostly, you're going to have to identify it. You're going to have to give it a name. You're going to have to give it a destiny and purpose. And God's wanting to partner with us in this.
Yes.
He's allowed us to be co-laborers with this.
Yeah.
In it. And it's time for us to stop waiting for God to move.
Yeah.
Because he's never been still.
Right. Man, that's such a great point. I've never heard anybody say that, but that's very good.
He's never been still, and we just need to move with him.
Right. It's awesome.
When God said light, he set forth a vibration that has resonance to it. And then he created us in his image. And all we need to do is find that resonance, that vibration that God's doing. And then when we start vibrating in the same fashion that God's vibrating for our community, we're unstoppable.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate the leadership that you bring. And, you know, the Bible, I'm just thinking that scripture that says, you know, you've got a lot of teachers, but you don't have many fathers. And I think it's still true today. You know, fathers are... we're shorter on the father side than we are on the teacher side. So I know a lot of people really appreciate your leadership in our community, and I really appreciate you talking to us today.
I love it. Thank you, though.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to the Next Gen Worship Podcast. For more information about Next Gen Worship and to listen to other podcast episodes, visit nextgenworship.com.